The Green Zone, Jamie and Locker. Is it just me, or does Scotty the producer pick better tunes when Jamie's not here? Well, Zeppelin, nothing wrong with Zeppelin. We are joined by Terry Koshan. He is a Toronto Star, our Sun contributor, and covers the Toronto Maple Leafs. The big conversation for the last couple of weeks, Terry, has been Marner, and he's on his way to Vegas. Not a huge surprise. No one expected him to stay in Toronto. How would you describe the fan base's reaction to this move?
Well, a lot of people are happy about it.
Okay.
Because, you know, listen, Locker, what's the best way to put this? Everyone knows that this core didn't win in the playoffs, right? But this year, Mitch Marner was up for contract. Austin Matthews and William Nylander were not, and won't be for a while. So, you know, had it been one of those guys who was up for contract and not Marner, and this comes to the same type of end for one of them, it probably would have happened. It's happened to be Marner's turn. Now, having said that, there's a little more to it. Of course, being the hometown guy, he really played off that, said some interesting things over the years that a lot of the fan base didn't really take too well to. And, you know, there was the comment at the end of the season, not this past spring, but a year ago, but, you know, the fact that treated like gods in Toronto, that didn't go over well. And you know, you're just never able to produce in the playoffs. But, I think that, the way it ended, not a surprise, like you said. I think that, you know, as the season went on and they weren't going to talk, I think that only a Stanley Cup win would have kept Marner in Toronto, probably. And I don't have conclusive proof of that, A, because it didn't happen, and B, because, you know, you still can't be sure. So, the divorce was coming. Everybody could see it. You know, good on the Leafs for getting a player out of Vegas. Vegas, as Kelly McCrimmon said last night during the news, or really wanted that eighth year. Didn't want to take the chance that he goes to market, and here we are. So, you know, there's probably going to be some regret, too, at some point.
Yeah.
As soon as the season starts going, and you realize that, well, wait a minute, this guy that brought us out of our seats so much in the last 9 years is now no longer part of this, and they're not getting, they didn't get the replacement for him. It's just not going to happen.
When I read it, did you see his Instagram statement? I'm guessing you did.
Yeah.
And when I read that, I read it the first time, and I tried to remove my opinion of Marner as a person. And, right. and you know what? Listen, I don't know him. I've never met him. But because of how he has reacted to his situation in Toronto and the things he has said, which you've alluded to, I've kind of got him in a place. Now, listen, I don't cheer for the Leafs, but I read it again, and it just rang kind of flat to me. How did you read it?
Well, to be honest with you, there was a little more accountability by him in this thing, this post, than there has been for years. Marner's never been one to stand up at the end of the season and say, "I failed. I didn't do my part. I absolutely have to be better," even though the thing was always, the result was always the same. You know, I just pulled it up here in front of me, and you know, when he says I gave everything I had, but in the end it wasn't enough. That's hard to admit because I wanted it so badly for all of us. That's more than what he said at a lot of these ends of a lot of these seasons. And you know, the unfortunate, or whatever word you want to use, factor here is that the other guys aren't really that way either. There's a bit more accountability in Tavares. I think by far Chris Tanev is the best in the room, and he's only been here for a year. But Matthews and Nylander tend to sway the same in the same direction that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as far as the post goes, you know, to me it didn't read much more different than anything that you see when any big name athlete in any sport leaves a city. And are you expecting a little bit more because he was a hometown guy? I don't know. You know, if you go back in over the past 9 years here, I don't know why anybody would have. But, yeah, I understand what you're saying. that it does look like that. But knowing Mitch like we do, I'm not so sure we should have expected anything more from him.
It's funny because we were talking about the fact that he may have got some help with it, and it's weird.
Well, Locker, hey, listen, every single guy does.
Yeah, I know.
There's no way that he sat down and you know, was stroking his chin and thinking of what to say. That didn't happen.
Did not happen. Yeah, for sure it didn't. I guess we can maybe give him some credit for not using AI, because that always...
That didn't happen either. Yeah. From what I can tell here, not that I'm going to run it through any checks or anything.
No.
But yeah. No, it's, like I said, it's par for the course to do it. You know, Sheldon Keefe, when he got fired here 2 years ago, went a different way and did a video on the shores of Lake Ontario, which really landed with the fan base quite a bit. But yeah, this was, you know, I hate to use the term run of the mill, but this is what you expect when a big name leaves the city to go somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't know what I was expecting. When I read it, I was... Anyway, we can move on. The tampering conversation, Terry, has been reignited with this whole Vegas Marner thing. And it's an interesting conversation because I don't think it's going away anytime soon. And you'd have to be crazy to think that it doesn't happen. And it clearly happens. Something clearly happened here. What do you think will come of that conversation, if anything?
I don't know. I don't think. See, here's the interesting thing you get into. The Vegas interest in Mitch Marner's are there for a while, a long time, right? So this wasn't new in the past, say, 2 weeks. Just throwing a, you know, that time span out there. Could it be months now, whatever. So, and if the past talk was about trade and that, Marner knows what the interest is. He's, you know, that's obvious. And whether they were talking to the camp at all, you know, months ago or however long it's been, might it have happened? Sure. But the fact of the matter is it happens across the league. You know, this year was a little bit different because the NHL stood up a few weeks ago and during the season and said, okay, teams, don't forget, we do have this tampering policy in place, and here's a reminder of what the penalties are if you're caught. So what happened on July 1 this year, you don't have, now having said this, a lot of players re-signed with their teams, but you don't have at 12:01 all of these free agent signings being broken, and for the next hour it's just bang, 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 bang. Last year, the Leafs signed Anthony Stolarz, and I went back and looked. You know, Kevin Weeks tweeted it at 11:57 in the morning, 3 minutes before agency opened. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? So, talks between teams and the free agents happen all the time. And, you know, I don't know if anything to come of this or not. I would think that, you know, I don't have any proof of this, but is one reason why the Leafs were able to get a bona fide NHLer who's won a Stanley Cup in Nicholas Waugh in this deal enough to say, okay, well, we're not going to pursue this. Now, keep in mind, too, if the NHL wants to look into it, the NHL can look into it. But you have to have some awfully good ironclad proof to show that this happens. So, yeah. And again, why, if everyone accepts that we do, that this is not uncommon, why in this case do you go after it? Because it's the biggest name on the market, perhaps. But, you know, if you're the NHL, you could probably, you know, to picking shooting ducks off the row, you could probably do this with a lot of these conversations. So we'll see where it goes from here. I don't know that the Leafs are going to pursue anything. I mean, it's up to the league if they want to themselves, but, you know, I would think right now at least that both sides are quote-unquote happy. Listen, from the Leafs side, Bucker, they get, you know, and a lot of times, you know, last year, for example, the Leafs wanted to sign Chris Tanev. Everyone knew that. So what do? They trade for his rights from Dallas. They get a draft pick and a minor leaguer who was never going to play in the NHL wound up playing in Europe this year. They send that to Dallas. So, you know, Dallas got something out of it rather than nothing, but at least to get an actual player, you know, I'd like to think that those tampering things are smoothed out. We asked for living about it yesterday. He wouldn't go there.
He wouldn't touch it, yeah. Well,
and from what I gathered last night, McCrimmon wasn't asked about it. I mean, I watched it, but it was, you know, I'm just remembering now, but... I don't know. It's funny. It'd be awfully interesting if the NHL decided, yeah, we're going to do this and see what we can find. And they could do that behind closed doors. But, you know, then there's a lot of other transactions you're trying to go, okay, well, why were A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all the way down the alphabet also looked into as well?
Well, yeah, that's where you make it very interesting, because if you get punitive on one situation or highlight one, there are, you know, 10 behind it that are probably more egregious. Right. The same with the LITR conversation too, right?
Oh,
and then,
yeah,
going after guys, like going after the Oilers for the Kane situation. What do you, you're just going to ignore the Stone Vegas, right? Like, is that just going to go away? No, it's not. So, I wonder if they'll end up going the CFL route where they open up a window. At least they, you know.
They have to come back to that. There has to, because if you want to get around this, then just do it.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, though. Say you, in writing, open a window, okay? Is it still going to stop a GM from calling a prospective free agent's agent in December and start getting in his ear about it? Probably not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I don't know. Or you just say, you know what, if you're the NHL, said, okay, throw up your hands and say, look, we know this is happening. We'll pull back on the penalty idea. And you just go forward. But, you know, this whole idea that, you know, the Marner camp, and it was the wish of Darren Ferris, his agent, to, you know, once 12:01 hit Eastern on Tuesday, start taking the offers and everything from other teams. Marner had, you know, Vegas, L.A., and Dallas at the top of his list. So I don't think there's any interest in going to an Eastern Conference team. And certainly, you know, that crossed out a team like Carolina. Mm-hmm. And I think we get to 12:01 yesterday with offers coming in. If, you know, Marner doesn't say to Ferris on the weekend, once this trade is being worked out, let's do this.
Yeah.
I think Vegas was number one on his list anyway, Locker, if he went to 12:01. But now Vegas gets the eighth year.
Well, at 12:01 yesterday, you could buy a jersey from Vegas with 93 on it.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, exactly. So it's, it's not quite the same than picking sixth overall in the draft and you have that kid's sweater ready to go. You probably have a bunch of them, but
this is a bit different.
A little bit different.
I have a question about the Marner hole that is being left in Toronto.
It's an abyss.
It is. And you know what? Rather than ask the question, how do you replace a 100-point guy? I'm more curious if you think that the Leafs are in trouble without Marner.
I don't know if trouble might be too strong a word, but it's a concern. You know, here, Treliving's in a bit of a hard spot now, because he said to us yesterday, look, the top six forward is the goal now, okay?
Yeah.
I think there's still a lot of interest in Nazem Kadri in Calgary. There always has been from Treliving. Of course, he signed him to the contract he's on now. When he was GM of the Flames, they had a deal set up to get Calgary 6 years ago with Calgary next for you with Colorado. Could that be an option? Now, that doesn't solve your right wing spot, obviously, because Calgary's center, but I think you go into your top six. But as far as wingers go, it's you're not replacing. You don't replace the top guy on the market. And, you know, once Rantanen went in March and signed the contract with Dallas, Marner was on his own. And you can argue and say, oh, what about Sam Bennett and Brad Marchand? Well, yeah, true. You know, the difference is what they do in the playoffs, and really that's the ultimate factor here. But, you know, Bennett's a 51-point guy. He's hot career high in the regular season, and Marchand isn't, you know, the same type of producer he once was, even though he's quite consistent. So you sign one of those guys, you're still not filling that productive hole during the season. So to me, and to a lot of people, say, okay, well, it's 102 points now that just went out the door. And, you know, Marner knocked on that 100-point door for quite a while before finally getting it this year. How does that impact Austin Matthews now when you don't look to your right and you have one of the best playmakers in the game? You know, they get Matias Michelli from Utah. It's a risk because he had a really bad year last year. And, you know, stats in 23 of what was then the hockey club's last 26 games. So you hope he can find some of the offensive magic that he had for a couple seasons in Arizona, but that's not replacing anybody. So I don't know. It's the question that you know, you say to it, it has no, the answer is you don't replace it, but you still have to try to find something to make up for it somehow. And right now, they really haven't done that. And, you know, there's not much left on the free agent market, due respect to people who are still out there. But again, there wasn't, after Marner, there wasn't going to be that player anyway. You get him in a trade, people aren't trading those guys. And, you know, Treliving's cap situation isn't great. And you just have to take a quick look at the Leafs prospect pool depth chart to know that there are not a ton of trade options for them there. I mean, they don't have a first-round pick the next 2 years. So that you can't even use something like that. So they're not replacing it. I don't know, but going back to the original thought, the trouble would imply how do you get to the playoffs? I still think they're a pretty good team. And that's, not that that's going to be easy, but I don't think they're going to miss the playoffs by any stretch because of one player.
Terry Koshan, covering the Leafs for the Toronto Sun. Listen, my friend, thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks for having me. Always good to talk to you.
Awesome. We will definitely have Terry back because I don't think this Toronto Maple Leafs Marner conversation is going to go away anytime soon. Well, you know what? We'll get into this a little bit more. I will, within the next 10 minutes, I want to read you the Marner statement and get your thoughts on it, okay? If you've already seen it and you have a thought, text the Green Zone fan line, 877-332-8255. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. All right, the Green Zone, Jamie Locker. Jamie's off this week. I'm flying solo. We're going to open up the phones to a fan free-for-all, 877-332-8255. Already getting some reaction to the Marner statement. If you want to take a look at it, it's out on the Green Zone socials. I believe Scotty, the producer, just retweeted it as well on the Green Zone Twitter, Green Zone SK. And again, Green Zone fan line, 877-332-8255. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Hey, darling, sleeping on the blacktop. Hey, darling, running through the trees, honey. Hey, darling, leaving for the next town. Less than my sense catches up with me.
The Green Zone, Jamie and Locker. I am flying solo this week. Good tune. That's off of Hell or High Water, by the way. That is an excellent movie. If you have not seen that movie, put it on your list of things to watch. Mitch Marner. We're just talking with Terry Koshan from the Toronto Sun. And interesting conversation. I could have gone an hour with him on the whole Mitch Marner situation and the impact it's having on the Leafs. Right now, I want your thoughts about Marner's statement in particular. If you haven't had a chance to look at it, Ed Scotty, the producer, just fired out on our X/Twitter account, and it was originally posted by Marner on Instagram, if I'm not mistaken. And it dropped in the last day or so. And it's basically a farewell. I'm under no illusion that this is something that he sat down and wrote himself. He had some help, but it's his words. He's got to approve it. And it's what he wanted to say on his way out to Vegas. And I thought I'd read it for you. And then we could have a conversation about it. Because the first time that I read it, I was like, I think this would bug me if I was a Leafs fan. And I don't know what it is, if it's a tone thing or what, but when I read it, I went back and read it again and I went, yeah, I'm annoyed. And maybe I'm annoyed because I have this understanding of who this kid is already without even knowing him. And maybe that's wrong of me to do that. But anyway, here it is. This is Marner's full statement to the Toronto Maple Leafs, the fans, and the organization. Now that my time in Toronto has come to an end, I wanted to share what these last 9 years have meant to me. Leaving isn't easy. This city is where I grew up, where I fell in love with hockey, and where I've had the incredible honor of living out my childhood dream. Wearing the Maple Leaf on my chest wasn't just about playing for a team. It was about representing my home. When I was drafted, all I wanted was to help bring a Stanley Cup to Toronto. That was always the goal, and I came up short. I know how much this team means to this city, And I know the expectations that come with wearing this jersey. I gave everything I had, but in the end, it wasn't enough. Terry actually referenced that comment. That's hard to admit because I wanted so badly for all of us. To the fans, thank you. Playing in Toronto is special because of you. Over the last 9 seasons, I have felt it all. The passion, the pride, the hope, the pressure, and the support. You care deeply, and I never took that for granted. To my teammates, coaches, trainers, the equipment and medical staff, team services, PR staff, and everyone behind the scenes who keep things running, thank you. I'm grateful for every conversation, every moment of support, and every bit of belief you showed me along the way. As I prepare for what comes next, I leave a different person than I was at 18. I'll always be grateful for my time here, and most of all, I'm so proud to have been a Toronto Maple Leaf. With heartfelt thanks, Mitch Marner. I'm still annoyed. I don't know what it is. It is the fact that I don't like him. I can't separate the fact that I don't like that and his arrogance. Is that what it is? And that it falls short? The fan line, 877-332-8255. I want to hear from Leaf fans. What do you think? This came in from Daryl from Melville. The fact that everybody is overanalyzing the Marner situation yet reinforces why Marner wanted to get out of Toronto. Can't blame him. The media kills it for all the players. So it's the media's fault. He's not complicit at all, Daryl? Listen, you know what? You're not wrong. The media in Toronto is relentless. It is a very difficult market to play in. Probably one of the most difficult, if not the most difficult, market in Canada to play in, right? Would you rather play in Toronto? Or would you rather play in Montreal? Edmonton? Vancouver is a bit of a gong show when it comes. The media plays a part in it. I don't know. I think that's a... I don't like that excuse that it's the media's fault, because I think Marner played a role in that as well. But again, the expectations we have of these... Like, he brings up a good point. At 18 to now, 28 now, I think, You can become a very different person. You can grow up. I grew up significantly from the time I was 18 to the time I was almost 30. This came in. This is from John. He's a Leafs fan. Locker. TO fans made a mistake running Marner out of town. So he's blaming the fans. So we got a media. It's the media's fault. And we got it's the fans' fault. Matthews will never reach 50 goals again unless they find an elite passer. Marner assisted on over 60% of Matthews and Nye's goals. Matthews is gone after his contract, and he'll probably meet up with Marner in Vegas. That's an interesting take. I'm not sure. I don't think a team gets rid of a Matthews. It's the same McDavid conversation. I don't think McDavid leaves Edmonton. There's no way that team's... They're going to do everything they can to keep that player, and I think that plays a part as well. If you have a thought on this, you know what? Fire me a note. We've had a couple of comments from Leafs fans. Marner, you know, this came in from Trevor. Marner said in his press conference today that... him and his wife specifically were talking about Vegas at the Four Nations. I actually have a clip that supports that. That's an interesting part of this conversation as well.
Hill and Stoney this year at the Four Nations was awesome as well. Just kind of, not just for myself, my wife's side of things, just talking to them about the living style and everything like that as well. And
that's going to be an interesting conversation, specifically revolving around the tampering part of this. If Toronto and Vegas, I think it would probably be a Vegas investigation from the NHL, on tampering. If they get involved in this, comments like that aren't going to help either one of these teams. Right? And here's something I'll throw at you if you're a Leafs fan. Hearing that in his head, Marner was thinking about the possibility of going to Vegas in February. Beginning of February is the Four Nations tournament. Now, you probably have an example of this in your own life. Just think about the guy you're working with that gives his 2 weeks' notice. How productive is that individual in those last 2 weeks? It's human. I'm not blaming that person. I think if we were all honest with ourselves, we would probably disconnect on some level. It helps support what happened in the playoffs a bit as well. Is it felt like he was a little disconnected from the team at times, in my opinion. He's not the only one. The Leafs did not perform well in the playoffs. That I thought they should have handled Ottawa a little quicker than they did. It took them six games. They took Florida to seven, but there were moments where I was like, is this? And I was hopeful. I was hopeful that Toronto would come out of the East and we would have a Toronto Maple Leafs, Edmonton Oilers, final. I think a lot of people wanted that. It didn't materialize. And this Leafs team, again, not a fan, but I thought that there was a decent team that they had on the ice this year. It'll be interesting to see what they do this next season without Marner. Because I think I agree with some of the texts that we're getting that this is, and even Terry Cochan from the Toronto Sun, I think people are going to regret. There's going to be a lot of regret about Marner leaving. That is a massive, massive hole to fill on that lineup. Take the points out of it. You need those setup guys. They're very important. Anyway, we can keep this conversation going. Phone lines are open. If you ever want to reach out to the Green Zone, 877-332-8255. That's the fan line. Love taking calls as well. If you got a quick text on that, your thoughts on Marner and his farewell statement. 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Working on a night move. Trying to make some front page driving news.
The Green Zone, Jamie and Locker. Jamie's off. I am flying solo this week. We've got fan free-for-all. But we've stumbled onto the Marner conversation. Jace out of Regina, what are your thoughts about him leaving TO and heading to Vegas to be a Golden Knight, my friend?
I think he'll be a better player for it. I mean, everybody talks about just the scrutiny of Canadian media. And you look at, like, even when Matthews got hurt, like, he's the one that held that team together. And they're still just piling on about him. And then, of course, Matthews' production was down this year, and I didn't hear anything about that. But you look at Marner, and it seems like everybody is just against him.
It is interesting, and as much as I don't like the guy, and I was never a huge fan of him, just personally, some of the things he did, I thought he was a little arrogant, and it was a little standoffish at times, Jace. But he was a phenomenal player to watch. He is unbelievable. His Four Nations performance, especially in that last game, I thought he was a big part of the reason why they beat the United States. That pass to Bennett was even better than the pass to McDavid from the corner for the winning goal, in my very humble opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, like you said, you said it yourself that you're not maybe a huge fan of Marner. And especially with the whole way the thing played out with the contract and the trade, and this seemed like it kind of dragged on since the new year, right? And so, aside from all of that, it seems like his goodbye message, it felt very genuine because he
did it.
I thought it did.
Okay, I don't know what it was that bugged me. You thought it was okay. Maybe it was the music I played.
I thought it was good because he did grow up loving Toronto. It's the team he wanted to be drafted by. It was his favorite franchise, and he did seem to enjoy playing there. It's just I feel like it was a lot of the noise around it that didn't sit with him so much.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? He's been criticized for complaining about that noise and wanting that to be something other than what it was as opposed to embracing it. And I, to be fair to him, the noise that he got, and you kind of alluded to it, Jace, if Matthews, yeah. Matthews did take some heat, but not like Marner, right? Well, and, you know, Tavares took some heat, but not like Marner. There was something different there. I don't know what it was. And I think a lot of it is personality based. I think he does need to take a look in the mirror and take some responsibility for how that market reacted to him, because it was brutal. It was brutal at times, but I think he should own it a bit.
But I said it to Scotty, but have you seen any of like Sheldon Keefe's interviews since he left Toronto?
Yes, with New Jersey. Yeah.
Yeah, he seems like he can talk to the media freely. Like it seems like he's able to say what's on his mind. He doesn't have to be, you know, looking over his shoulder. His eyes aren't darting around. He seems like a better coach in New Jersey because there's less media attention there.
Yeah.
That's,
yes.
That's my take on it.
Yeah. But here's my thing. Nylander wasn't perfect during the playoffs, but he goes unscathed. And I think he has the type of personality, Jace, that works well in an over... Like, Nylander gets on the subway. Like, he goes and eats out at restaurants, has no problem. Marner made it feel like and commented quite often that it was an issue. He couldn't do anything in that market.
Well, I've seen a lot of posts on Reddit, because I'm in the Leafs subreddit just for fun, just to see what they're talking about. There's a lot of people that were spotting Nylander around the city into late June. Like, he's still there. He's not going home or anything like that. He's living in the city full time.
Yeah. But his personality is, like, he shows up shirtless for the, you know, for the post-game scrum. He just gets away with stuff that Marner didn't get away with. And maybe it's the hometown thing. Maybe they give Nylander a bit of a break because he's not from there. I don't know what it is. But, Jace, I really appreciate your time today, okay?
I got one quick question, if you don't mind, if we got time.
Make it quick, buddy.
So, you know I'm a strong believer in the Corey Perry curse. So now that he's on LA, are you worried about them beating Edmonton?
No.
No?
No. But I do need to process that whole thing. And I'm not there yet. I need time. I need a few more six packs and a little bit more time. Thanks, Jace.
Yeah, a couple weeks. Thanks, buddy.
Take care, brother. All right. We'll probably have to bounce this off of Daryl Davis. He's coming up next. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.